goodness of God, and we're looking at James chapter 1, verse 17. You know, here's an absolute shock to you. Many of the things I say should be different than the world, right? Many things we stand for, we should not look like the world. We should not sound like the world, right? So, if the world says up, we say down. Now, it doesn't mean we're looking to be different than the world. What it means is just out of what we stand for and what God is, light and darkness cannot stay in the same room together. It's impossible. And so when we see the world, we're going to look at several different things than what we stand for, and it should sound different. We should sound different. We should be saying different things. Why? Because we should be speaking life. You know, these are just some things, and I'm a stat guy, and I love stats because it shows how much the world is tanking and how much God, how good God is. According to the medical new today, I was reading this, and it kind of stunned me. And it said, this is August of 2018, so this is a couple years old now. And it says, Barnes & Noble, who was the largest book, and we're talking about anxiety now, the largest book retailer in the U.S. announced a huge surge in the sales of books about anxiety. A 25% jump in books about anxiety just in 1 year. Just in 1 year. Now, this is 2018, so what can you imagine it's going to be like right now? I mean, we're in the middle of this COVID. We're in the middle of this pandemic, coming out of it or whatever. And so I can only imagine what it's like. But just 2 years ago, there was a 25% surge on books about anxiety, okay? There's a study by the KFF, and also the same information I found on the CDC said that prior to the COVID pandemic, right? So these stats are before the pandemic, right? Now, we're going somewhere good with this, so just stay with me, and I'm not going to get you depressed, all right? Or we're not going to get you on anxiety pills or anything tonight, okay? But we're showing there should be a drastic, and again, I'm talking about the world's ideas and the world's system and man and also the kingdom. Prior to COVID-19 pandemic, nearly 1 in 5 of U.S. adults, so 47 million approximately, reported having mental illness in the past year. And 11 million of those had serious mental illnesses, right? And so this is prevalence of depression and anxiety was also high, all right? Now, in 2017 and 18, nearly 17 million adults and an additional 3 million adolescents dealt with this. Major depression. And then also, too, they're showing that in 2018, nearly a third of the adults, reported feeling worried, nervous, anxious on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. This is a problem that we have, right? And the problem is, and I'll tell you the answer to this question is the world doesn't have a clue how to fix it. Because if they knew how to fix it, nobody would have any of these problems anymore, right? So what we're looking at is several different things here. But what it does, it gives the opportunity to the church. And it gives God an opportunity and a window to be able to minister. Now, I have no idea, because again, we're in the middle of it, so I'm sure the numbers and the stats, we don't have that yet. We won't have it until probably next year or so, or in another year or two. But we're seeing this. Now let me say this too. And I'll throw this out to you. What age group do you think has the most anxiety? Somebody answer it. Just take a guess. What? Yep, millennials have the most anxiety of any group in the history of America. CDC, right? So these are stats that I pulled. This is not just some numbers that I'm pulling out of nowhere. Again, they're scientific. They're studies. And so we're seeing that younger folks are having more and more anxiety. Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, there's several things, but obviously we're seeing more and more pull away from the Lord, right? We're seeing more and more pull away from it. So again, in the midst of confusion, negativity, and we're definitely living in a lot of lies and false information, guys, I'm telling you right now, tonight, we can have joy. All right? And know that God is wanting, and we're going to read some scriptures here in a minute, He is wanting to pour His goodness out on us. Remember, everything that is good, we're going to read in a minute now, comes from God. Right? What is the main thing that is the difference between the world and us? The main difference is Jesus. We have a life source that the world does not have. So think about it for a moment. If you're in the world and you don't know God, what are you going to do? You turn to other people who can't fix your problems. Right? Or you look to dope, or you look to beer, or you look to something, you look to some kind of drug or some kind of outlet, right? You're looking for a release, and in the world system, there is no release. There is no release, right? Because what happens if you, you know, I know the kids in here, we're not going to get too, but if you do, like, drink bad drink, you know, you drink alcohol, what's it? That wears off, and you got more, and you have more, and you got more, right? And it's a perpetual circle. That's the way of the world, is to get you hooked on those things to make you dependent. You're never set free. You're never set free. Many of these people who are, you know, they're dealing with a lot of these issues we were talking about. I mean, let's just say this. I have friends of mine, and I used to drink a lot myself. And you ever notice that? And I remember being in Damata. Adrian and I were in Damata Bible College for missions. And I remember Pastor Billy there one time. He said, he was one of the pastors and the teachers there. He was talking about he had a drinking problem too. And his friend told him, he's like, you know, it's like, you just, it's just dog. You're just, he's on you all the time. And he goes, you know, they're just, he said, they're just one thing. You just come to the point where you just got to get that dog out of your life. You know, we need to just stop messing with stuff and get free from things. Amen. And I know my testimony was, you know, I got born again. I got rededicated my life, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and instantly I didn't want any of that stuff anymore. Amen? It was a supernatural experience for me. And I didn't have to take 12 steps. I took one step to Jesus, and I was done. Now, other people are different. Shouldn't be that way. You know, we should all just be able to do it. But again, in the midst of everything, we have Jesus, all right? And it doesn't matter what you read on see on TV. It doesn't matter what you read or see on the internet. I mean, I was reading an article by Abraham Lincoln the other day on the internet. It was awesome. He wrote this great Maybe you're like, oh, yeah, oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. But anyway. But thank goodness George Washington got in and corrected him on the line, you know. So they were having a, I'm kidding. But anyway, you can't believe all of, but what is the main thing we rely on is Jesus, right? He's our source. And when we start pulling away from it, that's when we have problems. We get big problems. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. Now, I like it in the Living Bible. It says, but whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God. Is anxiety, is fear, is that from God? Well, yeah. You know, you'll just be amazed how many people that think that God is putting depression, anxiety on people to teach them a lesson. That is not God. The Bible clearly says right now, everything good comes from God. God is not, there's no anti-depression medication in heaven, right? There's no, you know, There's no cancer treatment centers in heaven, right? There's no, you know, they're not amputating limbs. They're not doing any of these. No, there's only good things in heaven. There's only healing. There's only joy. There's only peace in heaven. We read there, we know that in Acts 10:38, it says, whom God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and went about healing what? All that were what? Oppressed of the devil. There's a delineation there between healing and the good things from God, and then also the oppression of the devil, which is bad. You know, with this, you know, I we take it for granted in this church, but there are a lot of churches out there that are, I mean, Adrian is going to pray for some ladies this week, you know, Pray for some people. And they were like, well, but you just never know. God's will. And they started going down that road. And we're like, oh, don't do that.
I know, right?
Hello? Yeah. Why are you doing that? Right? Let me tell you what God's will is. It says that he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Right? All means all. Remember that commercial? What was that? Laundry detergent. The little guy on there. A-L-L. All. All right. That dates me. Right. Oh, Jesus, help me now. But then let's go on, and it says, and it was a happy day. I love this, guys. Get encouraged here. Let's start from the beginning here. And this is the Living Bible. I love this part. It says, "But," and now I'm reading 17 and 18 before I just read 17. But I want to read verse 18 along with this because this really will blow your mind, but doesn't. We need to lay hands on you. I'll lay my jumper cables on you, and we'll bring you back to life. But whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God, the creator of all light. Man, that light, also we can mean, it means goodness, right? Illumination. He shines forever without change or shadow. Jesus never changes. Jesus is not on the throne up in heaven with the Father, have his head soaking in ice water going, I don't know what to do now. No, he's always Jesus is large and in charge. He knows what's going on. He knows what to do. He's got an answer for every situation, right? You look at these people on TV, and they don't know a wet paper bag from a Dixie cup, right? I mean, they have no idea what to do. They don't know what to do, but God does. He always has the answer. And then it goes on. Here we go, verse 18. And it was a happy day. Everybody say, oh, happy day.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day for him when he gave us our new lives through the truth of his word, and we became, as it were, the first children in his new family. Guys, this is awesome. It says, it was a happy day for him. Happy day for him when he gave us our new lives. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you what, it was a happy day for God. I was in a prayer group one time at Rhema, and I was the only American there. It was a prayer group, and I was the only Yankee and I was the only one. There was a guy from Africa and Germany, and another guy was from the UK, and I'm the only Yankee there. I'm the only local folk. And so anyway, we're praying and everything, and the guy, my friend from Africa, he's praying, and he said, he started talking about this testimony. I'm like way off track now, but that's okay. He was talking about a testimony in prayer that he was on a college campus, and he led this guy to the Lord. And, you know, like college campuses had the big grassy areas, you know, in between buildings and all that good stuff. And he goes, they were sitting there, and he said after his friend got saved, he just leaned back and was just laughing, and he said, what are you laughing about? And he said, I had this vision that there was this hand that pulled back this curtain, and when I got born again, and he says, at that moment, after I got done praying, I saw this curtain open up, and he says, I saw like endless sea of angels jumping and shouting and giving high fives and everything, because they were celebrating him. This scripture is fulfilled. When people are born again, right?
Yeah.
And let's read it again. It says, and it was a happy day for him when he gave us our new lives. My goodness, the world is depressed and heaven is on fire right now. It is blazing with joy, right? Nobody is in heaven going, I wish I could go back and pay bills again. I really wish I could take the trash out. Right? I wish I could clean my room again. Right, kids? No. Nobody in heaven is saying that at all, right? What was it? Saw a thing, and it said, the van is the coolest vehicle ever, and then it said no one, or something like that. I can laugh. We've had a van, all right? If you got a van, that's still cool. But anyway, it was on somebody's minivan. It was a joke, but anyway, it was funny. So anyway, we've got minivan. Good, it's awesome. We used to have it in a minivan, but anyway, it was funny. And again, the heavenly slogan is, "I wish I could go back to Earth and pay bills again." Said no one, right? In heaven, It just doesn't work out. Nope. James chapter 4, verse 7. So just know this while you're turning there. Just know that in Christianity, the Lord wants us. Somebody wants you. And it's Jesus. Somebody wants you. And the Lord wants us. And what? We are wanted and loved. You have to remember that. We are living in a day right now where there is so much tension and friction going on. And this group and that group. And you're a liar and this is a liar. And I don't like you and blah, blah, blah. And everything else too. We got to get grounded and centered and know that no matter what is going on around the world, in our lives, in our country, we are wanted and Jesus wants us. There is a mission. He is hotly pursuing us because he cares for us. The devil is hotly pursuing us also to destroy us, right? We see in John 10:10, it says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right? So what that scripture is talking about, it separates the devil's purpose and it separates Jesus' purpose. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what does Jesus back up after that? Right after he says, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He said, not only that you have life, but it's so overabundant. Right? James 4, verse 7. So give yourselves humbly to God. Now we're going to talk about getting over into him right now. So give yourselves humbly to God, resist the devil, and what? He will flee from you. Now, this is very important because, you know, we're always going to say, I'm going to tell the devil and he's going to flee. No, there's two qualifiers here. Number one is we need to humble ourselves to God. What does that mean? It means we submit to him, right? Humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves, we're going to submit to him. We resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. So we humble ourselves unto God, and then we resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Keep going here in verse 8. And when you, this is a living Bible again, and when you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Why isn't the world, let's just say this, guys, how come the world isn't close to God? Right? I wish I was close to God. He's not going to be close to you unless you draw near to him, right? Because what is God's really philosophy in this whole thing? He's like, I died on the cross for you. I provided my son. I've already done the sacrifice. Least you can do is get off your and come over here, right? You're yellow. And draw near to me. My goodness. You know, it's like if you had $1 million in the bank account and you're too lazy to go to the bank to draw it out, right? You're too lazy to pull your debit card out and to swipe it. Really? He goes on here and he says, and when you draw close to God, it says he will draw close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. We could say 2020, and use some sanitizer, right? Right, wash your sinner? No. And let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to him. Let there be tears for the wrong things you've done. Now, this is very important. This is where many people are missing it. They want to live in their scroungy sin, and they want God to bless them and pet them for everything that they're doing. That's not the case, right? We don't see a lot of dirty stuff in heaven, right? It's pure, it's holy. God is absolutely pure and holy and sanctified. He expects us to be pure and holy and sanctified also. Let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Why? Because of our sin, right? Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Then when you realize your worthlessness before the Lord, he will what? Lift you up, encourage, and help you. What is another thing that God resists? The proud. God resists the proud. A lot of these people that are really arrogant, and you watch them on TV and everything else too, and then we see people today, you know, this week saying that Jesus wasn't perfect and everything else too. It's like, I'm sorry, but I'm staying as far away from you, pal, as possible. All right, I'm staying over here. You stand over there, right? That's Now, it doesn't mean because, you know, you think, well, Pastor Brent, that's kind of contradictory to the Bible. The Bible says that we're joint heirs with Christ and we're very valuable. Yes, we are because of Christ, but in and of ourselves, we're worthless. Right? We're just worthless in and of ourselves. But Jesus, the Lord, saw value in us, right? Value in us, and because of his Spirit, now we're made perfect. And it's not because of something that we did. But because of his sacrifice, we draw near to him. We humble ourselves. We recognize that we are nothing without him. In and of ourselves, we're nothing. But it says he will lift us up and what? Encourage and help you. Through that process of humbling ourselves before him, he will encourage us and help us. So again, no matter what you go through, if you will be faithful to him, he will lift you up and encourage you and help you. Draw close to the Lord. Guys, let me tell you something. He will never disappoint you when you draw close to him. I never get done and end up praying to go, oh man, that was a waste of time. Well, that was a waste of time. No. I feel so much better after I get done praying. Whenever I time spend in the time in the Word with him, I feel so much better, right? No, I feel like a carnal rat when I spend too much time away from him, right? Yeah. You know, the more maybe I get busy one day and I don't spend as much time as I want to, or spend as much time praying, and then, you know, then you can get real fleshy real quick, right? So the world, this is very important, guys, the world will not realize their worthlessness or repent. The proud. I got it figured out. I can figure it out. No, you haven't got it figured out. I mean, you know, I just have found this too. The more I learn, the more I know I don't know. You ever notice that? Yeah. And they're just things that, the more I read, I'm like, oh boy, I'm just scratching the surface here. I mean, there's a whole iceberg, and I just see the little tip of it right here, and there's like several stories below that I'm not even tapping into yet. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, we are resting in him. Guys, that's it. That's a key. That's a process of when we rest in him, that's when we're humbling ourselves before him. What does it mean to humble ourselves before the Lord? It means, God, you know better than I do, and I'm going to put my will and my idea over here, and I'm going to humble myself. And when I humble myself, I'm saying to him, that he knows better than I do, right? And that's where the flesh comes in, because we want to fight that all the time. It doesn't. Until the day you take your last breath, you're going to be fighting the flesh every day, right? Because I'm going to be fighting my flesh in about an hour, right? When I sit down and I'm going to eat, I haven't eaten supper yet and everything else too. So you find what? You're fighting your flesh. So you're going to, and some people, well, I just don't feel saved anymore. I just don't. No, it's not about feelings. It's about resisting the flesh and overcoming. So again, we are going to, through this time, we're going to be fighting the flesh the whole time. The world gives into it. Well, I know how to figure this out, and I've got a plan, and I know the answer, and I'm going to do this. Ever been around those people before? You know, I've had friends like that before, you know. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. How about you? Well, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I've done this, and my kids are this, and we're all this, and everybody's awesome, and we're great, and everything's perfect and awesome, and blah, 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 blah. And then it's like a month later, they're divorced. They're bankrupt. They're, you know, you ever like Facebook? Everything's wonderful on Facebook, you know? Nobody ever is like, I'm going to end my life, and I you know, nobody's dirty laundry is on social media. You ever notice that? It's always the highlights, you know? Because when you're on social media, you just think, oh my goodness, this is everybody's life is so much better than mine. Wrong. Not. So, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, we're resting in him, right? Because we're saying, God, you can do this. I'm trusting in you. My faith and trust is in you. Why? Because of your ability. One of the biggest struggles as a Christian is to put your opinion aside and pick up God's opinion. Yeah. You know, I see too many religious Christians, you know, they're so intellectual that, well, the Bible is not literal, and the Bible is not this, and the Bible is not that. Well, of course it's not, because you don't believe any of it. You cut half of it out, and then you say it doesn't work. Well, wait a minute, hello? It's like having a surgery, you know, and then skipping the first, you know, okay, well, we're not able to pull it out. Well, you have to make an incision first, right? You have to cut a slice it, you know, so open it up so you can take. Yeah, kind of an important step there. Kind of an important step. So again, you're working through, he is working through you. Through the whole process. Again, Jesus is our source. The world has no source. The world has no source. The world, again, relies on people's abilities, technology, what they're thinking, what's the new latest thing. And you're all going to get mad at me about this one, but if people would trust in the Lord half as much as hand sanitizer and your little face masks, we would have a revival here, wouldn't we? I mean, woo! We would have just an amazing... I got two pieces of toilet paper on my face, and that's my salvation, right? No, it's not. You ever see online some of those people that have like makeshift face masks and stuff? It's hilarious, you know. Some guy had like a plastic 2-liter with a hole in it. I mean, just ridiculous stuff, you know. And some lady had a scratch pad, you know, one of those you scrub dishes with a string. And oh, I'm sorry, that was you? No, I'm kidding. Oh, that was your page I saw. I'm sorry. All right. People just come up with crazy stuff, right? You know, I mean, it's you're making all this crazy stuff up, you know, and you're thinking, that's not, I mean, you know, I suppose there's some help for it, and I'm not making fun of it, but what I'm saying, but do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm trying to be a little tongue-in-cheek here, meaning that I believe in doctors, and they're good, you know, they're good people, and they obviously have a purpose, and they've entered that field in, but my point is this, if a face mask is going to be your salvation and you're not looking at Jesus, our priorities are kind of screwed up, okay? And again, we're not saying you don't wear a mask and you don't do those things, but it's like, where is your heart at? Where is my hope planted? And again, the world is just, they're just going to do whatever they think at this point. Again, the world has no way out. There's no relief. The world's system is you get stuff, do what makes you happy and feel good, and then you die, right? Just do whatever you want to do. And you ever notice, too, no one ever talks about the life after. Everything is about right now. Everything is about right now, what you're doing right now, getting stuff, blah, 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 preparing for retirement, da, 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 da. That's like the whole thing is like, oh, I got to work, and then when I'm done working, then I can put my feet up, and then I can relax, and then, no, that's not what life is all about, okay? Yes, have a retirement. Yes, do those things, but that's the world system, right? So again, any kind of strength in the world, it comes from their own ability. It's all about the physical realm. If you think outside the physical realm, then you're nuts, especially if you talk about Jesus or any other source. Philippians 4:7. Can I just say something while you're turning there? You can't put Jesus in a test tube, right? At least I haven't seen him in a test tube. You can't test these things. You can't. Now, there have been things. I have read studies about people who have been, spirit-filled, that when they speak in tongues, there's a different part of the brain that will emit, and there's different frequencies that emit from people when they speak in tongues. So there are different realms in our brain that are engaged when we pray in the spirit that are not normal, that we don't ever really access. So yes, there are some physical things. I believe that when, you know, and I've studied some things, when people are born again, there's certain physical aspects of them that do change when they are born again. So yeah, I think there's probably some things like that, but everybody wants something that they can, you know, can we get the Jesus pill? Is there a Jesus pill I could take right now? Right? You don't know how many people that I run into over the years that they want you to pray for them. They want the goods from God, but don't want God. Right? I want to pray for healing, but I don't want to repent for my sin, and I don't really want to get born again, and I'm not really interested in reading my Bible, and I don't really care to get to know God. Right? That's the world for you, right? It's all about getting what I want, but I want a commitment, and I don't want to, ugh. We better not do that. Philippians 4:7, it says this, and the peace of God, everybody say peace of God. Now, this is something here. The next statement is very paramount, especially for Christianity. It says, which passes all understanding. There are things in the spirit realm in Christianity, and the world just goes, thinks you're crazy, because there are just things in the spirit realm you can't understand. You cannot explain. It just passes all understanding. For example, you know, I remember this lady. She was, the story of this lady, she gave a testimony. This man came in, and it was in Africa, and, you know, there are certain tribes that come in and you know, warfare. This man and all these other men came in and, you know, killed all these people. Well, her husband got killed. Her whole family got killed by this man and other people. Do you know that a few years later, that man that killed her husband and her children became her pastor? That's beyond understanding, right? That goes beyond understanding and comprehension. Now, that's a level that most people aren't at. I mean, a lot of people, just they're just not there. Now, in the natural realm, that is just, I don't even understand that, right? Most people won't understand that. But this lady had peace because that was her pastor and she felt connected to him and, you know. Now that's a love level that passes all understanding, right? Jesus hanging on the cross, we'll forgive them for they know not what they do. You know, most people would be like, get them, God, legion angels right now. Get them, boom, right? Just whack them. Just whack them, you know? No, that's not. So again, there is a peace of God that passes all understanding that you can be in the midst of a storm. You can have all kinds of problems going on. I mean, it can be absolute chaos. You can lose family members and everything else. And what is it? You can still raise your hands and say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And you can still have peace with God no matter what's going on in your life. Amen? Are you there? Did I put you to sleep tonight? Are you okay? Do we need to just kind of, we need a little lullaby? Wake you up? Oh, do you have something? Okay. What's her name? Rachel? Yep. We'll definitely do that. So we will pray for her. Yep. Oh, yeah. Do we have any testimonies? Any testimonies? Anybody have anything? You know, I just want to share a testimony really quick, too. When I was in Africa, and we're going to close in prayer in a minute, but you know, just talking about the peace that passes all understanding, and your the reasoning kicks in. You know, I remember the guy that I was, Vidar and I were in a car, and let me just back up here real quick. A few years ago, I was down at Rhema in Tulsa, and I was meeting with some other pastors and some of the students that I taught in over in Africa, and some of the other pastors. And the place that I went to was called Garsen, and Garsen is close to Somalia. If you don't know, that Kenya is just west of Somalia, and of course, you know, if you've ever, you know, heard of the movie Black Hawk Down, and there was a lot of things that went on there in Mogadishu and in Somalia. So anyway, when I got there, they all shook my hand and hugged me, and they're like, "Brother Brent, we can't believe you went there and you did this and you did that and you did this." Well, at the time when we got there, because it's so dangerous, and now you can't even go in there where we were at. I mean, they won't even let you in there, right? And so at the time, you know, when you come to, we've never experienced here in America, but when you come to when you come to a road and you stop, they have armed guards there, okay? And they have AK-47s and all this other stuff, and they're military. The country's military there will have you stop. When we stopped, they said, "Are you sure you want to go?" We said, "Yeah, we have peace, you know." Because this town had never had any Christianity there, right? They never had anybody there at all. And we're talking about churches that have only been there for 10 years, and these people don't know anything. They just have a Bible, and they're trying to do the best they can, and we're trying to give them some tools and some resources and to help them out. So we go probably 20 miles, and there's not one car on the road. It's that dangerous, right? Nobody will travel. Nobody will do anything. The place we got was, there was UN soldiers there eating next to us in a little cafe, right? So this is a real hostile area, really bad. And so, the guards there were asking us if they wanted one of us to go with them, or, you know, asking this. And we looked at each other and we just had peace. We're like, "No, we're fine. We have peace." See, I had peace and it didn't make any sense, right? Because on the inside, I knew who was with me. Now, again, you got to be led on these things. You need to check with the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying is, you'll be in situations where it seems like this is crazy, this is crazy, this is crazy. And on the inside, you got the peace of God that passes all understanding, right? When situations are screaming that this is nuts, this is nuts, this is nuts, and on the inside you have peace and you have that green light, not only will we be led by the Spirit, and it's very important to understand how to be led by the Spirit, but God is going to do things that do not make sense in your mind. And that's why it's important to go by the Holy Spirit on the inside and be led by Him. And so anyway, we got done, and about after we left, they closed that all up, and nobody can get in there now. Well, why was it important? Because God gave us a window to get in there and to do something and to finish our work. Amen? And so the point is this, that there are things that God's going to do that's going to pass all understanding. Amen? Amen. So, you know, I got plenty of stories like that. But the point is this, that the world is going to say no, 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 because they're looking at the situations. For example, David and Goliath. Does that make sense? No. A little ruddy teenage kid, you know, up against this 10-foot giant. It doesn't make sense, does it? This does not compute. And what was happening? King Saul and the other men were looking at the situation, and David was going with the covenant that he had with God. Because he said, this is an uncircumcised Philistine. He doesn't have a right to say that. He doesn't have a right to say those things about God. He doesn't have a right to do any of this stuff. And in the natural, this was completely psychotic. And he picks up five little stones, only needed one of them. And Goliath had a check up from the neck up after that. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Emily, do you have something? Oh, okay. Do you have something before we close here? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Amen. I want to pray just a minute. We'll pray for, Lord, we pray for this Rachel, Lord. We pray there's strength in her life, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you're going to do a work in her. Lord God, we lift her up. We thank you that she has all of her needs, and we thank you she has strength, Lord God. We thank you if she's supposed to be there, that she's anointed, Lord Jesus, and we thank you that you're bringing supernatural relationships into her life right now to encourage and strengthen her. Lord God, we thank you for it. And I pray for these people, Lord, right now, tonight, in the name of Jesus, that no matter what pressure, stress, anxiety comes our way, Lord God, we are going to stand with you. We don't care what the circumstances looks like. We're going to go with the inward witness. We're going to go with that peace on the inside. When everything screams no, and the Lord, Holy Spirit, you say yes, that we're going to be brave and put one foot in front of the other in the name of Jesus, even though we may feel symptoms of fear and those symptoms and anxiety try to attach ourselves to us, we're going to have the peace of God that passes all understanding in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And we are not going to succumb to fear. We're not going to succumb to the bullying of the world or anything else. We declare tonight that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. And you will be victorious, Lord. And we thank you that you're working through all of us. We also thank you for an awakening. I want to pray for an awakening in this church. There's an awakening in this nation, Lord God, that there is this demonic spirit of trying to bring fear over people and confusion. We say that God does not have the spirit of confusion. But Lord God, we thank you that we have the minds of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the lies will be exposed. We continue to pray for strength for our president, vice president, Congress, Senate, our governor, lieutenant governor, all of our state legislation, Lord God, and all over the United States. We pray that there's wisdom there. There are godly men and women coming into that have godly counsel into their lives. We thank you also that you're sending ministering spirits to these people, Lord God, to help them and to encourage them and to bring them wisdom, Lord God. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've done preach myself happy tonight. And amen. Just remember that you are wanted and you're loved, amen, by the Almighty. And it gave him great pleasure, amen. I got to read that again because that was awesome. I want to read that scripture one more time, the Living Bible. It did. It made him happy. It was yes, it was 18. And it was a happy day, oh happy day, for him when he gave us our new lives through the truth of his word, and we became, as it were, the first children in his new family. Yes. Oh, a happy day. Woo! Hallelujah. And then we can have that peace that passes all understanding because we have loved ones that go on to the next, on to heaven and move on. It's a celebration in heaven, amen? Nobody in heaven's crying, oh, they died, they're here now. Woo! Celebration. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, praise God. Anybody, anything you have, Adrian? All right. We're good. Praise God. Well, we.